Quick question. When's the last time you saw something at work that made absolutely no sense, and instead of saying something, you just went along with it? Yeah, me too. Today, we're talking about how to challenge the status quo without torpedoing your career or your sanity. Hello, peeps. Welcome back to Workday Playdate with Improve It. I'm Erin, and this is the podcast where we talk about work, leadership, and culture in ways that actually help. Now, if you love the show, leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening. It takes 30 seconds, it costs $0, and it makes my team and I do a little happy dance at our desk. So this month, we are exploring the topic of failure at work, and today we are knee-deep in failure and uncertainty because challenging the status quo requires both. You have to be willing to fail publicly and sit in the discomfort of not knowing how it's going to land. And here's the thing. Research shows that organizations where employees feel safe to speak up and challenge existing norms are significantly more innovative, more adaptive, and more profitable. But most people stay quiet, not because they do not care, but because they are afraid. Afraid of being labeled difficult. Afraid of retaliation. Afraid of rocking the boat in a storm that already feels like it could capsize. But here's the epiphany, y'all. The status quo is not neutral. It is a choice. And every time we go along with something that isn't working, we are actively choosing the right thing that is not working. Challenging is not rebellion. It's leadership. So if this is hitting home, we have a quiz for you in our show notes called How Do You Lead Through Failure and Uncertainty? It'll help you discover how you naturally respond to failure and uncertainty, and it gives you practical techniques you can start using right away. So go take it. Link is in the show notes. And let's meet today's guest. Now, y'all, today you are in for a treat. I am beyond excited because we are bringing you a conversation with one of our incredible partners and friends. Lori Jadick is the Vice President of People Strategy at Publicis Sapient, where she works with senior leaders to build strong leadership, healthy culture, and teams that create real impact while dealing with ambiguity and change. Now, Lori is known for being clear, bold, passionate, and business-oriented. She helps leaders make better decisions, learn from missteps, and move forward with confidence in complex moments. She brings deep experience in talent and leadership work and a strong belief that growth comes from taking smart risks, learning fast, and staying grounded when things don't go as planned. Basically, she's the person you want in the room when everyone else is tiptoeing around the elephant. Lori, welcome to Workday Playdate.
Awesome. Thank you, Erin. Very good to be here.
Oh my God. Was that fun? Because I normally record those separately. I was like, wow, Lori, I really feel your bio is awesome. You have such a background.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, it's I have a job that I've loved almost my whole entire career. And the work I'm doing now in leadership development, sort of across our organization globally, it's challenging, it's new, it's breaking bricks a little bit along the way, but it's fully embedded in our business strategy. And that's the magic.
That's the magic. And you do it so well. Any day I get to talk to you is a great day. You just are such an awesome human. We love Lori so much here. My peeps, I hope you are enjoying the show. We'll be right back after a quick break from our sponsors. Thank you for supporting those who support the show. You're listening to Workday Playdate on the Passion Struck Network. Now back to our show. Let's start the show. We always start with an intention. So What is your one word? What's one word that comes to mind that either you want to give or receive today?
No bullshit insights. I said I wasn't going to swear.
I love it. No bullshit insights. I love it. And I love that, you know, it's a tagline. No bullshit insights. We're going to make a t-shirt. No
there you
bullshit
go.
Insights. Okay, so tell me why you chose that.
For the longest time in my career, when people asked me what I did, I never said I'm part of HR or I'm a people strategist, because HR, call it what it is, human resources, people strategy, talent management, it feels very disconnected from the business, and it feels like this separate thing that sits in an internal organization. And I don't have time for traditional HR. I have time for people, processes, and activities that have a very short line to business impact and business growth. That's what gets me excited. That's what gets my stakeholders interested and paying attention.
That's what's up. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Lori, you literally just make me laugh. I'm going to tell the peeps. I have to tell them first and foremost, you have no bullshit insights, but you're also such a fun. I'm just going to say, we like to bullshit together. We like to have fun together.
We do. Yes.
We have to tell the peeps about the goose gloves. Should we share the goose? I'll share my version and then you share yours. How about
you? Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So Lori, Jenna, and I, we have a very strong email cadence. It makes me very happy. It's joyful. It's fun. It's playful. And so somehow, the goose was sitting behind you in a Zoom meeting. You had a giant stuffed animal goose. And my son's nickname is Goose. And so I was just talking about how I had to get this goose. Next thing you know, Jenna and I both receive gloves with goose faces on them in the mail. And I brought these goose gloves with me because it was cold in Charleston, South Carolina, to my son's soccer game. And when I wore them, he scored. So then it became the good luck charm. And I had to wear goose gloves every soccer game since, even in 80 degree weather. But that's thanks to you, Lori. Like literally, that's you.
Yep. And you know, and I can share with your peeps. I mean, why do I have a large stuffed goose sitting behind me? It's because I am a big fan of Pinot Grigio and late night online shopping. And one night after a good amount of Pinot Grigio, and I saw this stuffed goose that literally you've seen him. I've held him up. He's probably 5 feet tall. He's got very long, skinny legs. I knew I needed to have this goose. And so I ordered the goose, and then I promptly forgot I ordered the goose. And then the goose arrived, and I'm unpacking this thing, and my husband is standing there, and he just like, what, why did you get that goose? So anywho, for the first, you know, so then of course I'm like fun with the goose. So the goose gets positioned in different places around the house. And one of my favorite, I had the goose like sitting on the couch in the sunroom, and it's where my husband always drinks his coffee and reads the paper. And one morning I had put it there the night before, and the next morning I'm heading upstairs to my office. My husband goes into the sunroom to sit down. All I hear is like, oh, for Christ's sake. And so I just have fun with that goose, but he's been sitting behind me for quite some time now.
I love it so much. And we don't have the video on, and you're in the office today, so the peeps can't see the goose. But when I see the goose, it brings me joy. And my goose gloves bring me joy.
I guess.
Spoiler alert for you. I did lose one of my gloves. Okay. So that was not a great day in the Deal household. Yeah. I just want you to know. But I have one, and it will be with me always. Okay. It's a soccer staple now. Okay, so let's just set the stage really quick. Where are we having this play date today? If you could have this play date anywhere in the world, where would it be?
It would be sailing the canals in Amsterdam, because that's where I was a week ago.
I know, it's so amazing. Literally the best vacation ever.
Wonderful.
So, okay, sailing in Amsterdam. In Amsterdam. Okay, I'm feeling that. Well, let's talk about this challenging the status quo. What is your point of view on it? Like, where did this fire come from inside of you?
First off, you don't challenge the status quo for sport. You've got to be specific about where you're going to challenge the status quo. Every organization does stuff that is silly, ridiculous, and makes you want to, you know, put a gun to your head. Pick the things that really make you crazy, that have a big ripple effect.
Yeah.
Either they're things that a lot of people have to do the same silly process because that's the status quo, or we tend at my organization to be very, very collaborative, which is a wonderful thing, and it's a huge part of our culture. It also means making decisions is an endless email going back and forth and adding somebody, et cetera, et cetera. So when I think about, like, where am I going to pick and choose? What's the ripple effect of the status quo? And if there's a big ripple effect, let's be really bold at how we want to rejigger that thing. Our promotion processes are very much owned by the individual, very empowering. That's great. We did that really well. Once the individual does their part and it gets into the whole process, it is, for the love of God, a nightmare. And so that was one. It has a huge impact on a lot of our people. Very, very frustrating. We challenge the status quo. Why do we need 8 approvals for these things to go through when we've already got all the information? So we took a process that was, you know, painstakingly pushing big rocks up a hill and really got it down to a 2-step approval process. It's faster promotions. If somebody's not getting promoted, they know that a lot faster, you know, because the longer it drags out, it's like, I'm sure they're going to call me today and tell me I'm getting promoted. And so something like that has been a huge win. But you got to pick and choose, you know. So I always think about, what's the ripple effect of this? How many people actually care about it? Is it a business driver? Because if it's not a business driver, it's really hard to get excited about it.
Totally. And I, you know what you said in there too, that really stuck out to me. You said, be bold. And I noticed last night you and I were emailing about, you know, time change or whatever, your signature, which I've emailed you hundreds of times, says be bold. And then it has something else after it. What does it say?
Be bold, move fast, show care.
Yeah.
And that's basically how you do it.
That's right. That is exactly it. Be bold, move fast,
show care. Yeah.
I know that the thing that you're caring back about needs to move a needle, be something that will impact the business. Because I hear you on that. Sometimes people challenge the status quo just to challenge. And I think
you don't want to be that person.
No.
You'll never make meaningful impact because you're constantly chasing the details.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I challenge, you know, my favorite challenge to the status quo is with our leadership expectations.
Yeah.
That are global expectations. And it was, we've never had a set of global leadership expectations. You know, like most companies, people just sort of assume, like, oh, when you get to a certain level, you're suddenly a leader. You know, I call bullshit on that. Leaders exist at every level.
Yep.
And give them a framework. You know, you can't challenge somebody for not being an impactful leader if you haven't told them what impactful leadership looks like.
Oh my God.
So, you know, we took that one and our positioning, you know, the status quo on that was more, you know, leaders led how leaders led. And leaders were known as, oh my God, they do great work, but they leave dead bodies in their wake. Or what a super, you know, super nice person. Everybody loves this person, but they're not driving impact.
Yep.
So it was like, okay, we're going to develop leadership expectations. We're not going to go be overly clever with the language because we want to be really direct. Yep. So when we say leaders need to be accountable, own it.
Yep.
Own it. When we say we need leaders who are developing extraordinary teams, be human. Yep. We're using the language that you don't have to get overly clever to try to figure out what the words mean. And so the leadership expectations, it's all about being really, really direct in giving people that transparency. This is what great leadership looks like.
Yes.
This is what bad leadership looks like.
Oh,
and then hold people accountable to it.
Yes. Okay. Because so many things. I learned early in my leadership journey that if you are not clear, like Brené Brown says, clear is kind. If you are not clear, yeah. people yeah. don't know what success looks like.
Exactly.
You'll have an expectation, right?
Right.
So
right.
I've seen you creating these leadership expectations. I've seen you roll them out. It's been a joy to watch. I think that for everyone involved in your organization, it's almost like a sigh of relief. It's like, oh, okay, now I know.
Right.
What successful leadership looks like. Now I know what right. I'm striving for. And before it's right. so, ambiguity yeah. does not win. Hey, peeps, I hope you're enjoying the conversation here today. We will be right back after a quick break from our sponsors. Thank you for supporting those who support the show. You are listening to Workday Playdate on the Passion Struck Network. Now back to the show. Okay, wait, I want to talk. We've talked about what that win looks like. But you work with leaders all across the board who are navigating that ambiguity and change every day. What would you say the biggest mistake is that leaders make when things get uncertain?
Mistake number one, they accept silence as acceptance. Mm-hmm. Number two, they don't challenge each other. You know, I don't want her to think I don't like her idea, so I'm not going to challenge her idea. Huge mistake. Diversity in thought is what makes us all stronger.
Yeah.
You know, everybody falls into the diversity trap of, gender equity. And I'm kind of like, you know what? Gender equity, I work in an industry that is very heavily male dominated. I'm okay with that. I still think that, you know, at the end of the day, it's the diversity of background, diversity of experiences
yes.
that come to the table. It's, you know, the old Laszlo's 5 dysfunctions of a team. I forget the guy who wrote the book. Everyone on this podcast probably knows who wrote the book. 5 dysfunctional teams. And it's all about, like, if you don't have relationships, if you don't have that trust at the bottom,
yeah.
you're never going to have that, you know, that challenge, challenging and, you know, healthy conflict is what you need. It's the only thing that makes a good idea a great idea.
Yes. Oh my God. I love that. Only thing that makes a good idea a great idea. So
yeah.
true. So true. And in improv, we call that yes and, you know, it's not,
yeah.
it's not yep. necessarily cutting down the idea. It's acknowledging the idea and adding something to that, which I think is huge.
Right.
Okay. So let's.
Because rarely has a great idea ever been a great idea at the very beginning.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And I really think the challenging of great ideas, like you said, the diversity of minds in coming up with ideas literally leads to a great idea.
Like, well, and it's for me, it's the whole thing around, you know, who are the friendlies and who are the critics? Because I want to bring them both to the table.
Yeah.
And bring them to the table early. From a standpoint of, I know you're a critic of this. I want you to come to the table because I want you to punch holes in this,
yes.
and I want you to be ready to fill those holes with your ideas.
Oh, Lori, I love that. Okay, what happens though? Let me ask you this: when you challenge the status quo and it doesn't go well, how do you recover from it, and then how do you pick yourself up and try again?
You know, the big girl answer would be like, oh, you know, every failure is an opportunity for growth. Yeah, there's some truth in that, but there's also that, like, shit, that hurt.
Yeah.
So a little bit of it is you got to pick yourself up and dust yourself off. What gets you through it is the relationships. Because I genuinely think people genuinely are, you know, have good intent. They show up with good intent. And so when you challenge something and it doesn't go as pleased, let yourself, you know, have your pity party for 5 minutes and then move on. Trust in the basis of your relationships. One mistake doesn't mean you are a failure. It means you made one mistake.
That's right.
And so move on.
I love that. You know what? I heard this rule of thumb that stuck with me a long time. I give myself, let's say the mistake happened and it was like a 30-minute conversation. I give myself the amount of time that the conversation took place to get over the thing. So like give myself 30 minutes to really just sit in the suck and then you know?
Okay. Sit in the suck, have a candy bar, and then move on.
And move on. Maybe some Pinot Grigio. Add a Pinot Grigio.
Sure.
Buy a goose. Do all the things. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if somebody is listening right now and they see something broken at their organization, but they're afraid of speaking up and challenging, what would you say to them?
People know what's broken.
Yeah.
And they tend to keep it inside of themselves.
Yeah.
I think if you see something that's broken, and again, the ripple effect is big enough to warrant, like, how many people are going to be happier because this is fixed or a crappy process is improved? Surround yourself with some people who you respect, who diversity of roles and responsibilities, what would they do?
Yep.
Everybody gets that pretend magic wand. What would you change if you had that magic wand so that you can come with a solution? It doesn't have to be a complete solution.
Yep.
Come with an idea. I have an idea that could make this thing better. I want to pitch it to you and see if I can build some energy around making it better. And you know what? Sometimes the answer isn't, it may not be not now, but not now doesn't mean not ever.
Right. And you know what's so interesting is like, I'm thinking about, as you're saying this challenge, you know, challenge, come with a solution. It doesn't have to be the only solution or the solution, but just something, right?
Right.
Think about even improve it in our own journey. And we've been around 12 years and the things that have been changed and have been brought to my attention is because somebody stood up and challenged the status quo and said, hey, we're seeing a hole here. Here's how maybe we could fix it.
Yeah.
And that that courage really did create a ripple effect for everybody, right? So it really does pay off. So if you're listening today and you have something inside of you, take that advice from Lori. I really think more people need the more challenge of the status quo we have. You know, we use this word yes and improv a lot, but it doesn't mean agree. It means acknowledge. It means thank you.
Right.
And is that challenge is also what I'm thinking of. It's like, and what if we thought of it this way? And here's another way of looking at it. And those diversity of thoughts, like you said, really makes good ideas great. Freaking love it, Lori. Okay.
Right.
What is one thing you wish more leaders understood about building teams that can actually thrive through change? What do you wish more leaders understood about?
I wish they understood how much people pay attention, how much people are watching them.
Wow.
And leaders who actually set the bar and hold the bar just a little bit higher for themselves all the time, their teams will emulate their behavior. When you create that open dialogue that, you know, I am known for being very positive, being very passionate, and I get shit done. But you know what? I also have days where I'm like, meh, there's nothing on my plate that I'm excited about. But you set that bar high for yourself, and you create that. I keep saying ripple effect. You'll create the ripple effect because team members, when there's open communication and there's trust, and there's trust because I know you and I know you have my back, and I'm going to give you, you know, opportunity to grow. I'm always going to be ready to throw a life raft at you if you need it. But until you need the life raft, I'm going to stretch you as much as I can and throw you in the deep end.
Yeah.
I think that leaders who lead like that will always be able to take on the really, really tough, gnarly problems.
Yep.
Because people will want to work with you. But, you know, all talk and no action, leaders don't realize how much their people are watching them.
So true. Oh, Lori. You know, and let me say this for free. When I became a leader at Improve It, I just remember people were calling things I said, and I was like, wow, they really pay attention. They really do.
Yeah.
They really do. And then also, just fun fact for everyone, I got to witness you with your team, and I'm going to brag on you for a second, because we did a virtual workshop. And by the way, we did a virtual workshop, team building workshop.
It
was taking initiative, creative risks, right? It was taking initiative, creative risk. And so Lori sent props to each individual office on Zoom, because people were in offices, to make this experience that much better. That's the extra mile, first of all, so people are listening. And then it was so beautiful to witness on the Zoom, in the chat box, just people's appreciation of you, because you challenged them a little bit, sending them props, getting them out.
Oh, it was a ton of fun.
Zone.
It was
so
a ton
fun.
Of fun.
But we got to witness how you challenging the status quo. I love the analogy of you, like, I'm going to throw you in the deep end, and when you need the lifeline, I'll give it to you. But I got to witness that in real time, and people respect you. They love working with you because you are fun, because you're so personable, but you also push. And that's what a great leader does, in a gentle, guiding way. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
People team. I loved witnessing that, Lori. That was so cool.
That was a great workshop. That was a great workshop.
But it was so, from my seat too, just to witness, because I adore you, but just to witness the adoration of your peers was cool. So kudos, and kudos to your team, and lucky them that they get to work with you every day.
We have a lot of fun.
Okay, well, we've talked a lot about the status quo. I have one final question for you. This is probably the most important. Lori, how are you going to make your workday more playful today?
Well, after this call, I am going to go out for a walk, because it happens to be absolutely beautiful today. I am also in my office, so I'm not just sitting upstairs at my house. And so I like to take a couple laps around and see who's around and shoot the shit for 15 minutes with somebody I haven't gotten to see for a while.
I love that. See, that's what in-office stuff is, shooting the shit.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yep.
The best is in-person shooting the shit, okay?
You got it.
Oh, okay. Lori, we adore you. We're so happy you came on this playdate. It was an amazing time. We had the best time on a cruise to Amsterdam. And I think we had bullshit insights. I think there was no bullshit insights in today's episode.
Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent.
Lori, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, peeps, as we wrap, here's what I want to leave you with. Challenging the status quo is not about being the loudest voice in the room. It's about being the most honest one. It's about caring enough to say this could be better, and then having the courage to help make it better, even when it's uncomfortable. I want to thank Lori for being that voice, for showing up bold and grounded, and for reminding us that the best leaders are the ones willing to question what everyone else just accepts. And now, peeps, it is time for the playdate practice. This week, I want you to identify one thing at work that you've been going along with, even though you know it's not working. One meeting, one process, one unspoken rule that everyone follows, but nobody actually believes in. And I want you to say something, not in a burn it all down way, in a what if we tried it differently way. That is the move. Curiosity, not confrontation. And don't forget to take the quiz, How Do You Lead Through Failure and Uncertainty? It's in the show notes, and it's the perfect next step after everything we talked about today. And until next time, keep playing, keep learning, and keep failing forward. We'll see you soon.